You've seen the headlines. Bonds are making a comeback. But if you've ever tried to invest in bonds, you know what a clunky, complicated, broken experience it can be. That's why at Public, they took fixed income and fixed it. Now you can find, evaluate, and buy thousands of bonds with an investing experience designed this century. Add fixed income to your portfolio with corporate, treasury, and municipal bonds. Go to public.com/bondspodcast to get started. This podcast is sponsored by Public. Full disclosures can be found at public.com/bonds. Chat with Traders is sponsored by Trade the Pool. Are concerns about limited buying power, insufficient capital, or fear of losing your own money preventing you from advancing your trading capabilities? Trade the Pool is an online stock trading prop firm that offers funding for stock traders. Demonstrate your skills, trade their capital, and keep your profits. You can engage in intraday trading and now swing trading on Trade the Pool with any U.S. stock or ETF. The procedure is straightforward. Pay an evaluation fee, successfully complete the evaluation, and get funded. Visit tradethepool.com/chat to learn more.
Trading in the financial markets involves a risk of loss. Podcast episodes and other content produced by Chat with Traders are for informational or educational purposes only and do not constitute trading or investment recommendations or advice.
After 5 years that I become professional, I get the feeling of, from the market. So I brief the market in and I brief the market out. So I get I must see before I take and trade, I must see the chart maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Not the static chart. So I must see the market, how the market will react, how the stock will react. I must become the feeling. I must be one-to-one with the stock market. I must be 100% focused with the stock market. And then you get the feeling. This is myself. So I get the feeling and then take the trade.
Markets, speculation, and risk. This is the Chat with Traders podcast.
We're in episode 260, and I am Tessa, co-host of Chat with Traders. We were in search of our next guest to interview, and lo and behold, he was right here in our Chat with Traders community all this time. His name is Patrick Peterson. Patrick is a talented seasoned trader of 16 plus years. I used to think that many talented traders must have some kind of big social media following in some way, but I learned that if we just look and listen hard enough, they can be right in front of us or right next door. Patrick currently does not have that big social media following. In fact, he just joined Twitter only a few months ago. That's probably because he has been doing nothing except for trading, and tuning most things out. But when he's not trading, he would spend quality time with his family. Besides his family, trading is it. Trading is his lifestyle. I'm in touch with Patrick very frequently inside our Chat with Traders community, so you can say that I've had the great privilege to get to know him. Not only is he a talented and passionate trader, he genuinely cares about the traders in our community. He takes the time to speak and chat with them and gifts them by sharing what he knows from his experience. I also love that he tells things like it is, no fluff. Some of our members can attest to that. It's quite refreshing. Patrick has been an inspiration in our community, and we wanted to share his story with you today. So before you listen to the conversation between our host Ian and Patrick, I wanted to share a little bit more about his background. Patrick grew up in a family and maybe even culture that was strongly critical of trading as a profession. But he opened his first trading account anyway on his 18th birthday and risked his reputation and family money to follow a deep growing passion he had for years. After blowing up many, many accounts, he found himself homeless and rejected by his family despite fully paying them back. Passion, determination, and the art of persuasion gave Patrick another chance as he started managing money for wealthy clients. Join us in this unusual journey as we learn more about Patrick's trading and intuitive Jedi skills to make lightning-fast discretionary executions. Ladies and gentlemen, We're so pleased to present Patrick Peterson, all the way from Timmendorfer Strand, Germany.
Well, Patrick, welcome to Chat with Traders.
Yeah, thank you, Ian.
Yeah, Patrick, give us a little bit about your background, early background. Where did you grow up and where do you live now?
I live in Germany, Timmendorfer Strand. It's on the Baltic Sea. I live there with my family, with my wife and my two kids. So I have a boy who is 3 years. I have a daughter who is 1 year. And yeah, my trading background is I'm trading more than 16 years as a professional day trader. I live since 16 years only from day trading. So this means I get no other money only from day trading. My background is simple. I leave the school and yeah, I was trading.
Oh,
so
great.
No education background, no work background, only trading.
So when you were a teenager in high school, did you have an idea on kind of what you wanted to do with your life? What were your goals early on in high school?
My goal was only working for a bank. So, so I was only reading newspapers with financial background. So in Germany, it's called Handelsblatt. I will compare this to Wall Street Journal. So when the teacher makes some lessons in the background, I was reading the newspaper. I don't listen to the teacher what they do in the classroom. I was only reading the newspapers because the teacher know that I'm good with this. So I was only good in the school. There was no trouble. I make no trouble in the school. I was only fine with all. And this is why the teachers was all of me to read the newspapers and don't listen to the teachers.
So this was in high school or in university?
I was not in the university. It was in the high school. Mm-hmm. I was. I think the last 2 years in the high school. I was only reading newspapers, so don't listen too much to my teachers, because I was thinking I will have more money than they have in a few years and why I should listen to them.
So was your goal to be a banker of sorts or a particular job in the banking sector?
No, my only goal was I will be a banker CEO.
Oh, wow.
Because in the German Handelsblatt, there was so many interviews from the Deutsche Bank CEO and some financial guys who are always CEOs. And I was thinking this will be my position in a few years.
Uh-huh. And so how old were you when you finished your educational background?
Oh, I was 18.
18. Uh-huh. Yes. And then what did you do after graduation? Anyone push you to get a job or
No, I don't get a job. My mother kills me.
Oh.
So I get some money from my mother to can buy some cars and get some license to drive the cars. But mm-hmm. I take the money into my bank account and was trading with the money.
And did she know that? How long was it before she found out that you were trading with the money?
I think it was only 3 months, because she asked me how it's going with my driver license. And I was saying, okay, I don't go to this driver license school. I will only trading, but I will give you back the money. So I was able to give her all the money back. So it was fine. So I take enough profit.
and so when you gave the money back eventually, did that provide a level of trust? So that did she ever provide any future money?
No.
Oh, okay.
So it's the hardest background for me. So because my family, all my family members counsel all I don't know the right words, but they cancel all the contacts to me. So I have no contact after maybe 20 years to my mother. Yeah, because she's thinking that trading is only gambling. So, and she never understanding that I don't want to go to work because she works so hard for, I can understand. So she works hard for the money, but she don't understand that you can make on the easier way money. And this is why I have to accept that they will, I lost a complete connection to my family and they don't want to speak with me.
Oh, really? So, even though they got their money back, I mean, they didn't lose money.
Yeah, they see it as a casino. So maybe you are lucky, maybe you will lose. And they will say, yeah, in this moment you was lucky. But in other moments you are not lucky.
Uh-huh. What about general German cultural attitudes toward, say, getting rich through the stock market? What is a German's attitude typically for trading in general?
In this case, about 20 years ago, it was completely different. It was not normal to trade stocks or day trade stocks. It was only to have some insurance where you can buy stocks and you can grow over years and take some little profit from them. And you have to trust all your banks that they have to make a good choice with your money. And this was not what I want to do. I want to do my own choice. I want to do all the good stuff with my money. And yeah. So there was no in the German schools for 20 years, maybe it will change. I have no idea. There were no education about stocks and all this stuff. So you have to learn this all on yourself. So you get no financial education or something like this. You start from point zero.
I see. Did you have any friends or anybody you knew that were in the financial markets that you could share with? I mean, you said you wanted to go into the banking sector, and banks are commonly perceived as being, you know, very conservative type people, and yet you wanted to jump into day trading. Did you have any mentors or anybody to inspire you to get into this?
I get mentors later, but in my early stage, I get no friends about this. So in this case, the chat with traders community was not there. So many day trading communities was not there. YouTube was not there. So you have to learn this on your own way. So it was 20 years back. So the education was not there. So I was learning this on the hard way, on my way. Sure, I going to the banks. And as long you have enough money, the banks are your best friends. If you lose money, they hate you. So, in this case, sometimes the bank was my best friend. Sometimes that was my enemies. I think 3 years later, I get two great mentors. One of them was Oliver Welles. I was learned so many things from him. And yeah, this was the push for me. So this was the eye opener. So when I was the first contract with a professional mentor. Yeah.
I see. And so you were what, 18 when you opened your first account?
I was exactly when I get my birthday, 18, because you can only open your free account without parents when you're 18 in Germany in this time.
Mm-hmm.
And then on my birthday, I go to the bank and say, okay, now I want make a trading account. So, but the fees was really high. And about the fees, I think I was not so successful like today, because the fees was, wow, very high.
Oh yeah, give us an example of the fees, like how much you have to pay.
For an order, if you place some order, your fees are $10 or $15 or $20. So it's really big. It was a really big one. So when you make maybe profit $100 and this was good for you, then I think $30 you pay fee. And today, when you trade stocks, you pay $1.50.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big difference to now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, So did you study trading, you know, before jumping in, or did you just jump in and learn on the fly? And what were some of your early strategies?
My only studying was from the newspapers. So I was reading every day the newspapers. I was reading every day the newspaper charts from the stocks. I was compare this and all the charts, and I was learning this from my way. So I was thinking, okay, maybe I'm a news trader, not so much as a day trader. I was more than news trader because I get the feeling when something is going on in the news, how the stock market will react, or for example, the Lufthansa or telecom stock or something like this, German stocks, how they will react when something is going on after they placed some article in the newspapers. So I get a good feeling for this because I was, yeah, I can say I was paper trading 2 years when I was in the school.
Oh.
In this case, I'm learning from the newspapers how the stock market reacts. I make my notice. I write something down. Other people make some notice and learn for the school. I make my notice and was thinking about, okay, how is the stock react and why is the stock react on this news? Was something in the newspapers, or was there some political issue? Was there some economic issues? So this was my view.
So early on, you were looking at fundamentals. Is that accurate?
Yeah, correctly. Uh-huh. Correctly. And also, and all the news. So what's on in the news? So for me, it's important. What's going on with the employees from the Lufthansa? Will they cancel some employees? Is there some layoffs? What make other airlines, maybe United Airlines, to compare from Lufthansa? Something like this.
Mm-hmm. So what were some of your early strategies? Were they more of a kind of like a swing trader? Were you buying stocks and holding them for a period of weeks or months?
No, I was holding this maximum for 1 week because I was seeing that when I studied the news that mostly they will come down after 1 week, or they get some retracement and all this stuff. And this was why I was thinking, okay, I must buy and sell this in minimum from 1 week. I was not able to day trade because I have not so much money in Germany that I can day trade. But I was trading on weekly basis, maybe 3 days, maybe 4 days, but no more than 5 days holding time.
So when you you used the initial money that you got from your mother, right,
yes,
to trade, and then eventually you paid her back. And so like roughly how much money were you working with really early on? And did they have rules like the pattern day trader?
It was $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking $20,000 because it was for the driver license and for my first car. And this was my first connection with the United States stock market. So I was the bank manager was telling me, hey, if you want make fast money and you want grow faster, you have to go to the United States stock market. So you have there more opportunities. You have penny stocks. You have all the stuff. You can buy more, and you can lose faster, and you can win faster. And this was my first connection, United States stock market. And yeah, and this was why I was able to pay my mother the money back.
Oh, I see. So did you trade the German or European markets for very long, or did you just zero in?
Yeah, 2 years. I was trading 2 years the German market and also the US stock market. And then I was quite completely the German stock market because I was thinking we have not the big moves and we have not the great stocks like the United States, because I was loving so much the penny stocks in this moment. So you can make quickly 100% moves, 50% moves, 25% moves. In the German stock market, if you are lucky, you make a 2% move.
Hmm. So jumping into penny stocks, I imagine then you focus mostly, if not entirely, on technical indicators?
No, I don't use technical indicators. The only one what Oliver Willis was teaching me was the SMAs, 220 and 8. And yeah, and also learning the patterns. So maybe I will watch him with my eyes, the charts. I don't use any technical indicators or make it difficult. So for me, it was from the beginning and make it easy as possible. So only in this case, you see something. So don't trust the technical indicators.
Interesting. Did you use technical indicators at some point and have a bad experience with them? Or did you just, from the beginning, pretty much wanted to keep things very simple and decided?
Yeah, from the beginning, I was making something really simple because as I was told before, so I was only reading the newspapers. I was getting my information from this. And in the newspapers, I have no technical indicators. So for me, it was in the beginning that it's more easier for me to don't use technical indicators, because when I use technical indicators and some people told me, hey, you have to use this, you have to use this, it was for me completely complicated. So it was not funny. And I make really stupid mistakes when I trust the technical indicators. And then I was thinking, okay, fuck off all the technical indicators. For me, it's the simplest way is make it simple and easy and trust your eyes. And this is it. You see the price action. So when you see the price action in the chart and you see how the candle will react, then you can go very fast in and very fast out.
I see. So what do you look for in how the candle is shaping up? And what do you use, like a 1 minute, 5 minute, hour chart? Or
so typically I use 1 minute, but when I'm on the trade, I will use the 30 seconds because I want to see it much faster. But typically I use the 1 minute time frame when I trade the 30 seconds. And for a big overview, typically I use the 1 hour chart or 50 minute chart.
I see. And what are you looking for in the chart? What kind of action? What does it look to you just as you enter a short position or a long position?
Yeah, I go both sides, so long and short. But my mind is more training in short positions. But I was looking for the price action, so for the patterns, how the patterns will go, how the candles will form, and all the stuff I know. There are so many words about this, so head and shoulders and all this stuff. But when I will talk to you really, so, and I don't lie to you, I have no idea about head and shoulders and all this stuff, what patterns are do, because for me it's more natural to see how they will react. So it's, you look to the candles, you see how the candle will forms, and then you find it with your eyes easily because you have in your mind so many setups, and then you find your way.
You've seen the headlines. Bonds are making a comeback. But if you've ever tried to invest in bonds, you know what a clunky, complicated, broken experience it can be. That's why at Public, they took fixed income and fixed it. Now you can find, evaluate, and buy thousands of bonds with an investing experience designed this century. They started at the beginning, reimagining the bond screener with an intuitive design that helps you zero in on the exact kinds of bonds you're looking for. Then they made it easier to evaluate each investment opportunity with better data in the places you need it most. Finally, they made investing in bonds as straightforward as stocks or any other asset. Add fixed income to your portfolio with corporate, treasury, and municipal bonds. Go to public.com/bondspodcast to get started. This podcast is sponsored by Public. Full disclosures can be found at public.com/bonds.
Are you a developing or seasoned day trader who trades the U.S. markets? Is the only thing stopping you from getting to the next level is having enough capital to trade? Trade the Pool is a unique online stock trading prop firm that funds stock traders worldwide. Not having to risk your own capital can help you focus on other things like making better decisions on your trades. There's no PDT rules to worry about. You got more than 12,000 stocks and ETFs to trade, long or short, and professional tools at your side. How you get funded is you show them your skills through a straightforward evaluation process. Once you pass the evaluation, you get funded and trade with their pool of money and split the profits. Don't let the lack of buying power, capital, or fear of losing your own money prevent you from taking your trading to the next level. Visit tradethepool.com/chat to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Uh-huh. So do you consider yourself a discretionary trader?
Yes.
I see. And you don't look at volume?
Oh, I have no volume on my chart, no.
Oh, wow. Wow. So you're looking at the activity. So imagine, can you describe to us, say, on something that you want to go long or go short, what does the bars look like? What does the pattern look like? That's the most optimum setup for you.
Oh, the best setup is when the candle gets nervous. When you see that the candle goes a little bit nervous, it goes a little bit high and up, high and up, high and up, high and up, and then they explode, boom. So if you see the candle goes a little bit nervous, this is a good sign for you.
Mm-hmm. And a nervous candle would look, how would that look like exactly?
How would it look like this exactly? Okay, so I give you an example. So I was trading in the chat with Traders Community, the earnings. Mm-hmm. After the market is closed, what we trade the last one? I don't know. Let's take about Tesla, for example. So in the earnings, you see seconds before the earnings comes, you see how the candle goes really nervous because something has happened in the stock market, and you see it clearly on the candle that goes really nervous, and then you see the big spike, boom, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, and then boom, you see the really big blow up. Mm-hmm. So maybe you are on the wrong side, but you have to cover your losses very fast, and then you have to go in the other direction, and then you take your profit.
Would you classify yourself as like an intuitive trader? Using your intuition and how you feel.
Yes, 100%, 100%, 100%. Oh, wow. I know many people say, "Don't trust your feelings and all the stuff." But for myself, sometimes I cannot describe my trading techniques. If you ask me something or other people ask me something, I cannot describe my trading technique because it's more like a feeling. When I see the chart and I see how the candle will move, I get the feeling. And I cannot describe why I see this. That's only a feeling.
I see it. And how were you able to cultivate these feelings over time? Or did it just come kind of natural to you?
Yeah, for me, it's more natural. So it's, as I told you, I'm more than 16 years as a professional day trader. I live only from the day trading. But I was thinking, After 5 years that I become professional, I get the feeling from the market. So I brief the market in and I brief the market out. So I must see before I take and trade, I must see the chart maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, not the static chart. So I must see the market, how the market will react, how the stock will react. I must become the feeling. I must be one-to-one with the stock market. I must be 100% focused with the stock market. And then you get the feeling. Mm-hmm. This is myself. So I get the feeling and then take the trades.
I see. And so how important is the news combined with you looking at the charts in getting that feeling? Or can you look at a chart with not knowing anything about what you're looking at? No news whatsoever. Can you still trade something where there's no news?
Oh, good question. Good question. I would say no, because it's a hard question. Normally, I would say you don't need the news, because when the news are out, the move is done. But when I have not the news on my side, so for example, I use NewsQuack, I have the audio, and when I have this not on my side, I get a little bit nervous because I have no idea what's going on in the market. So why are the stock is at the moment moving, or why we see this move? I give you an example. Today, we have a big fake news on Twitter. It was an explosion near the Pentagon. This was a really big fake news. I have posted this in the chat with traders community, and we see in this little time frame, in this 5 minutes, we see how the stock market react on this, and we came down again, and this was a hard move. This was fast, and I was able to take $3,000 on the move. On the down move, and this was really great. I was only trading MNQs, 30 MNQs, and take my 3,000 profit. Because only why I have the audio squawk on my background. So they was telling me that near the Pentagon is an explosion, but not confirmed. It's only on social media. It could be a fake news. We have no other images, and no other have confirmed this. But the stock market was react on this.
Wow. And so you shorted the market.
Yes. And this was in time. So if you have some news like this and you have this in time, so then you have, then you know what's to do. I think all people will remember what happened on the, with the World Trade Centers. When the news came out, the stock market goes crazy. And I was thinking when I heard an explosion near the Pentagon, I was thinking, oh my God, not again. Fuck. And then I was thinking, my next thing was go short, go short, go short, go short.
Wow.
Go all in, all what you have, go short, go short, go short. And then it was the news came out, oh, it's fake news, it's delayed on Twitter, and the stock market was coming back. But it was a good time frame. And this is a really good example why it's so important to have some news in the background.
I see. So you combine the news with what the price action of what you see
in
the stock, and then is your motto that you let the market decide whether it's positive news or negative news, even though you have opinions on where the stock should go, but then let the chart tell you of the consensus of where the stock will go.
Okay. Yeah, this is another good question. So. Mostly, I will let the market tell me what I have to do, because the market is always right. You as trader can be always wrong. The market is the only one who's always right. So you can follow the market. But when you get news like some explosion near the Pentagon and really bad news, and the market came a little bit up, you can be really sure that the market came extremely fast down when other people have the same information like you. And this is so important that you have some audio squawk or news squawk what other people use too. So when maybe 200 or 300 million traders get the same information at the same time like you, and they react on this news, I think 100% like you, then this is a nice opportunity for you. So in this case, I don't do what the market will tell me. I know this news have the potential to bring the stock market down when this will be confirmed.
Mm-hmm. And how long were you in that trade?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Wow, that's short. And how often do you hold on to positions overnight or a period of days or weeks?
No overnight position. I have no overnight position because the risk is at the moment too risky. So I close my average holding time is mostly 5 minutes. Yeah. So because I'm the one who go fast in, fast out. Maybe you can say it's scalping, but I don't want to say it's scalping. It's more like follow the move, and if the move is done, go out of your position. Take your profit. So I love to take my profit. I don't like to see when the profit comes a little bit down and then you see another great move. I don't want this. So if the move is in the first action done, I take my profit. And if a second move comes, I go in again.
Mm-hmm. So going back to 15, 20 years ago when you first got started, what was your early risk management? And did you blow up any accounts early on?
Yeah, I blow up more than 50 accounts.
How many?
More than 50 accounts.
Wow.
Yeah, so risk management, I never thinking about this. So I don't know about, maybe I don't know about risk management, but I was not thinking about risk management. And this is really interesting. So I learned it on the hard way. I learned it on the hard way to how it feels like to lose your account, how it feels like to have no money to trade, how it feels like to sit in the back and see other people trade and you cannot trade because you have no money. This is pain. It's not the pain to lose the money. It's the pain that you cannot trade.
Uh-huh.
And this was the hardest way for me. And it was for me also the best lessons what I can get, because every time when I blow up my account, I was sitting there and I was review everything. Why was this happened? Was my setup, was this not correct or something like this? I blew up 50 accounts, but I was more than from my nature is a sales guy. So I'm a business guy. I'm a sales guy. I have learned many things from maybe Grant Cardone, Anthony Robbins and all the stuff. So, and every time when I blew up an account, I found wealthy people. I go to the wealthy people and say, hey, I'm a stock trader. I know you have the money and I know you want more money. And I know the money gives you not so much money, but I have an idea. Let me pitch this to you. I know I blew up my account, but my setup, maybe it's correct. And I have learned, and this is my lessons, what I have learned. Can we do something together? And this will work every time.
Wow.
And then I get funded from wealthy people. It was not so much money, maybe $20,000 again, but they want the money back. So So in this case, when they give me the money, I play natural safe. So I don't play games when other people give me money to trade. So I was always able to give them the money 1 month back. After 1 month, I was saying, okay, now you get the $20,000 back and you get maybe $1,000 as profit for you. And I have maybe $8,000 or $9,000 for me. But when I was alone without any wealthy people on the background, I think I trading for 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, and then I blow up again.
Oh, wow. So when you blew up an account, did you have to go to new wealthy people each time that you blew up an account?
Yeah.
Oh, you did. And so how did you find these wealthy people?
First I was met my first wealthy people. I get the connection from the bank manager. I was saying, hey, man, I cannot trade. Have you any idea how I can get some credit or I can have some money from you, from the bank, that I can trade again? Because it's real pain for me to don't trade. And they say, no, we don't want it. But the one bank manager was told me, please come back when the bank is closed, and I will wait in the front door of you. And then he was talking to me and make some connection to other people. He gave me three names and I should connect them. And this was the beginning. So, and then I get a great network. So I know about 20, 30, 40, 50 people.
Oh, wow. So the guy at the bank and these wealthy people, they must have had incredible faith in you, or you must have been very persuasive to, did you share what mistakes you made and how you're going to change?
No. Only the mm-hmm. first time when I met them, he asked me, why you need money when you're successful? I was told, yeah, man, fuck, I blew up my account. I have no money, but I'm really really passionate about this, and he speak about me, I think 3 hours, we was eating together something, and he got trust in me about my words and what I was showing him. And then he gave me the money. So, and then when I was 3 months alone and have enough money again and I blow up my account, I go back to the wealthy people and was saying, hey, if you have time and you want work with me together, then let's do it. So I have time at the moment, but my window is really tiny. So if you say no, then I go to the other one and we make money with the other one. So I was not telling them again that I blew up my account. So because I had a good advertising from him, because he now I was able to give him the money back plus profit in few days or a few months. So, and he have trust in me. And when I go back to him and say, hey, now I have time again, do you want work with me again? So would we do something again together? Then he say, yes, of course. The first time you was where we performed very well, and I love this. And then he gave me more money, not 20, he gave me 50. So, and in this case, I was playing safety again, maybe 2 or 3 months again, I have enough money, and then was saying, okay, now let's make a break, and I need some holidays, but in this holidays, I trade my own account again. Wow. And then boom, blow up again, because I was trading too aggressively. But yeah, this was always the lesson. And then I go back to the wealthy people, same story, same again. So now I'm back from my holidays, won't we work again? I was never told him that I blow up my account, and I not hope that he listened to the podcast. But it's fine for me, so we are good friends at the moment. So yeah.
Wow. So these wealthy people didn't know that you blew up all these accounts, right?
No.
And
they don't know that I blow up my private accounts again. They think about this, I'm in the holidays for 2 or 3 months, so that I go to maybe to Mallorca and live my Dolce Vita and all this good stuff.
I see. So you were blowing up your own personal accounts, but yes. Their accounts that you were trading with their money, you were more conservative?
Yeah, because I have to report every day to him.
Every day?
Every day, yeah. This was something what I want. I was told him, so I will report to you every day, because I know the issue from the banks that you get maybe quarterly reports, or the connection with the trader is not there or something like this. And this was some bullet point for me that I can have more trust and more friendship to the wealthy people, that they trust me, so that I don't have to pitch every time again when I want something for him, because they know I'm completely transparent. And when you in the Chat with Traders community, you will see my transparency on the same way. I post regular all my statements and all my trades, what I do, or I do live trades, because I'm 100% transparent. This is natural for me.
Wow. So that must have surprised some of these wealthy people who are used to getting
absolutely
quarterly reports,
this was why they completely trust me. So at the end, they ask me how much money I want. So not I have to ask about maybe 50,000, 100,000. They ask me how much money you want. We can find other people who invest in you too. And then we may be 20 people. And then it comes the idea that I trade a hedge fund. So I was thinking about, okay, when we have so many investors, what can I do that I can trade for these people? And then the next step was that I was making my own hedge fund. Private. So we have a contract. I have contracts with all the wealthy peoples, and it was all good. And we have a bank account. This was completely founded, and this was completely rules there. And yeah, I was trading 5 or 6 years only for these people. Yeah.
Interesting.
And in this time, I don't blow up.
Wow. So what were the typical percentage returns that these wealthy people were expecting that they were typically used to? And then what kind of percentage returns were you able to deliver them?
It's hard to say. So Some people say, okay, if you have 5% each month, then you will be fine. Or if you have 10%, then you are fine. But if you deliver more and more profit and more money, the investors come a little bit chunky. So they want more. So if they know that you are have the power or the ability to make more money, or it was a good month or it was a good week, then they want more. Then they get unhappy when you perform a little bit better than the last week. So because they become junkies. So if they save money, then they want more money, more. The first time was okay, if you make 5% and then we are completely fine. And after that, so if you was able to make more and more money because I was trading with the penny stocks and all this stuff, then they become greedy.
Interesting. Well, I imagine most of these investors were used to getting or accepting somewhere between 10 and 20% per year, right? Yeah. Which is considered a reasonable return. So are you saying that you were getting 5% per month sometimes?
No, per week.
Per week?
Yeah, and this is easy because, my trading style is I go always all in. All the money what I have, I use always my full financial power. Wow. Always. I don't want go in with, maybe if you have 100K and you go only in a trade with 10K, this make no sense for me. Because when I have 100K, I go all in. I use the full financial power.
Interesting. You go all in on a basket of many stocks or just a few?
One stock. Yeah, I cannot. This is something what I can't. I get completely nervous when I watch more than one stock. So when I have to watch two stocks at the same time, I get completely nervous. I can focus only on one stock or on one index or something like this. I can only watch one time. And I will use my full financial power. Maybe I open the position with 70% that I have something like that I can add to. But at the end, I will go all in.
I see. And how often do you see setups that give you the confidence to go all in? How frequently do you find those opportunities?
Oh, the really good opportunities you will find three times each day, maybe.
That frequently.
Yeah, and that's the hard part. So I know most people have some problems with overtrading, but if you go all in and you know about the risk, what I do, then you don't do normally stupid trades because you know when this trade goes completely wrong, you're fucked up completely. Mm. And then you have report at the end of the day to your investors why this would happen. So I have report some stupid trades to my investors also, but they are fine. If the setup was good, and it was not stupid, and it was and changed to win the trade, then they are always fine with this. But when you do some stupid trades and you risk the capital on stupid way, then they get really angry.
Uh-huh. So was it challenging managing the expectations of your investors?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I get so many times frustrated. Because this was the first time that people say something to me and I have to do what they told me. Yeah, it was completely a new world for me to think, okay, accept something what the people say. Because it challenged me also to work with other people. And at the end, I follow only some advices from one or two people, and the two people or the two investors was the leaders for the other investors at the end, because it was too noisy. When I speak to one of them, he told me A, the other one told me B, and the other one told me C, and I can make not all one happy. So at the end, we have one or two leaders, and I speak regular to the leaders, and the leaders speak to the other people.
I see. Well, what did they want you to do exactly? I mean, if you're delivering 5% in a very short period of time, I mean, heck, if you can deliver 15 or 20% in a year, they should be happy, right?
Yeah. So they, I have one good guy in this group, and he told me, you must think always on this. If you bring us in one day, $2,000 or $3,000 profit, and you do this two times or three times again and again, you must think about this, that we want this from you always. So make sure that you make only small steps. If you do big steps, you have to think about this, that we want this again and again. So, and this was my issue. So I was going first too big, too fast. And they want more and more money. But every time when they want more and more money, it was really risky. And one time we lose really hard money, and I have to report to them. And I was saying, hey, you was the one, or you investors was the one who becomes greedy, who pushed me to take more and more risk on my trades. At the end, it's fine. So we make enough profit to cover the losses. It was completely fine. But it was a big decision why this would be happen. And it was be happen because they pushed me so hard that I have to bring more and more profit. And after the big loss, they told me nothing about how much profit I should make. I get only the advice from the one guy. Remember, if you go too big, we think about this, that this will be regular for you. If you make small steps, then we are fine. We are all fine with small steps. But if you go big, we want more and more.
Interesting. So did you ever consider going to a quarterly report so that you could smooth out the ups and downs? And because if you're showing incredible gains, then it's like a drug for them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And as I told you, I'm a sales guy. Uh-huh. I play with this feeling too.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's good that I have the feeling so that I have the money feeling with the people, because at the end, they will do what I want, because I'm the money maker. I'm the source of the money for
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
So as a sales guy, for me, it was at the end, it was also a good game for me. So if I need more or if I need something from them, it was no decision that I get this.
Excuse the last interruption here. This is Tessa. We hope you're enjoying this episode so far. If you love the podcast, please give Chat with Traders the best review you can on whatever platform you're listening from. This will help us to keep the episodes coming. Also, if you haven't subscribed to our email list, please hop on to chatwithtraders.com and click on subscribe so we can keep you posted of information that may be of importance. Thank you. Now back to the chat with our guest.
I see. I'd like to go back to, you know, when you blew up your accounts, did you change your strategy what kind of risk management did you implement back then and also later when you're trading with a lot of investor money?
The big thing what I was changed is cut the losses fast. So in my personal account, I was always thinking, now I have lost some money, let it run. Maybe it could be back or not. So the biggest mistake was that I don't accept the losses. I let it run and not cut it very fast. So this was my hard learning. And I was saying, so I was also 3 months without any place to live. So I live 3 months in the car. So I have no place to live. I have nothing. So I was homeless. 3 months I was completely homeless because I lose everything. I lose all the connections. I have no smartphone to connect and all this stuff. I lose everything.
Wow.
I have no family where I can go. So I was completely homeless 3 months and live in the car. So and this was the big change. Where I was thinking about my how to take losses, because I know when I don't take the loss very fast to cut the losses very fast, I remember, hey, maybe you get homeless if you don't do this. And this was my biggest lesson.
Wow. It sounds like your family disowned you for trading. Is that, I mean, because yes. You said you were homeless. What?
Yeah, they don't accept me. So they don't accept me now. They don't accept me in the past. They don't accept me in the future. Because for my family, I have to be an worker who goes to work and make a regular income.
Interesting. So, but yeah, I mean, you were I imagine you're quite different from the typical German in that you're able to start trading right out of school. You're 18. And even though you've had many successes, still you're not accepted.
No, accepted. No.
Oh, wow.
Because they were thinking, okay, so now you are on the lucky side, but it will, the time will come that you're not on the lucky side, so that you get bad days. And this was one of the bad days when I was homeless 3 months and they get no support. So I was going to my mother. I was saying, hey, I have nothing. So they were saying, oh, it was your decision.
Oh, wow.
You are not welcome. So it's,
Wow. Do you consider yourself, or do others consider you to be somewhat of a cultural rebel?
cultural rebel. 100%. More than 100%. So I was saying I'm not the average people. So I cannot go to regular work. So for me, this, I cannot. So, and I have some problems with people. When I give you some example. So it's not to have a problem. So when you go to some shop and I see the cashier on the cash desk, I see always why they do the work. They can have so at the moment now where we are here. They can have so great financial education. They can learn how to trade with stocks. They can do everything in their life. They have not to sit the whole life as a cashier there. Mm-hmm. And then I think always, man, why do they sit there? And then I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'm completely different. And yeah, so for me, I cannot work. But I accept that the people love their work. But for me, it's... I never want this.
Interesting. But do you think that the way you trade, being very feeling based, intuitive based, do you believe that's teachable to most people?
No, I don't think so. It's yeah. We have in the community one guy. I don't give the name because I think it's more private. Mm-hmm. I trade with them one to one, and I see how good or how a good the impact is when I trade together with him, and how I can teach him and how I can push him. And they say to me, "Yeah, they love me and all the stuff." So maybe I'm a good teacher, maybe I'm a good mentor. But when you ask me, I would say no. When you ask other people, you will get maybe the information. They love me. I'm an inspiration and all the stuff. But when you asked me, I would say no.
So I was informed that when you trade in our Chat with Traders community, that you used what was called an imbalance to help
yes.
you make decisions on when to enter. Can you describe what an imbalance is? What does it look like?
Yeah, you see the difference from sell and buy in easy words. Mm-hmm. So if you have more sellers or if you have more buyers. So, and when you have the imbalance and you see something like this and you see more buyers than sellers, this is a good signal for you. You can use it.
I see. Is this, are you looking at level two bid ask sizes, or how are you looking at the exact imbalance?
Yes, something like this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can have other tools where you can collect the imbalances. It's not always the level two. You have some other tools. So you have institutional tools where you can look at this. And yeah, you can use this too. But I change maybe every week my strategies. So what was working for last week, I don't use it anymore. So if you see me trading with the imbalance for maybe 1 month, I don't do it at the moment. I do something other things. So I'm completely change every day something. So before I go to bed, I was thinking about the trading. So because I was told you, I brief trading in, I brief trading out. I think 24 hours about trading. So and I change every day something on my trading style.
Oh,
so
really?
If it's only one, if it's only one small thing, I would change it. So this was working for 1 week, but maybe not working again. So I change every day something.
So do you change something every day because it doesn't work from day to day or week to week, and that you always have to find like a new edge to, to get the profit?
Yeah, sometimes it's the market. Sometimes it's the market. The market is not the same every day. So the market is, the market is changed every day. So no day is the same day. And this is how I react also. So what I use yesterday will not work tomorrow. So because the market have changed. Someone called this, maybe you have special playbooks, how you play some stocks. For me, it's just like, okay, now I have to change something. So what was going on yesterday will not work today. So because I have maybe I must go in and out very faster, or I can lose only one candle, or I can lose only an amount, or some setup was not really clear for me, and I must if I see this again, I must switch something else, and so I have changed every day something.
Wow.
I cannot be calm when I not change something. Maybe I'm completely nervous, but I cannot be calm because I think every 24 hours a day about trading. I cannot be calm. So I know maybe Tessa from our Shared with Traders community and the host and you, Ian, you know, mostly I sleep only 4 hours because my mind is always working on trading. I cannot sleep. Sure, wow. When I go outside with my kids, maybe I make some 20-minute sleep. Or something like this, because my mind is every day working. I cannot explain this, but my mind is every time working on trading. I cannot think about others.
Wow. Well, you eat, sleep, and drink trading.
Absolutely. If I close my eyes, I have I have in my mind the charts. And so when I wake up, so for example, if you wake up in the night, then I wake up and I have I think on trading because I think when I sleep I think on trading too. I don't know why.
Uh-huh. Do you think that you're addicted to trading?
100%.
Uh-huh. Wow.
I would say some people are natural born to trader, but they have to work really hard on this, and this was what I have to. So maybe you can explain, you can see this like an NBA professional player. They have all the talent and maybe they are completely natural born to become a basketball player. But if you ask these players, well, they have to go to an hard work and hard way. And this was the same on my side. So I was homeless. I was blow up so many accounts. I lost my family and all this stuff. So this is completely hard way, hard school.
Yes.
And now here I am where I am. So now I can say I'm a professional athlete, like maybe an NBA player.
Wow. Yeah. It's like a sports game for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. My understanding is you find it difficult or just simply don't accept losses, that you hate losses.
I hate losses. I hate completely losses. Yeah. So my average win rate is 80 to 90%. Because I cut when I'm have to change to go break even, I go to break even. So I don't want letters to become a losing trade. Maybe this is not correct. Maybe it's correct. But I do this only because of my experience that I was homeless 3 months.
Oh,
so
wow.
If I have the ability that one trade goes to a winning trade, I go break even with my stop loss. so that I cannot lose on this trade anymore. I can only win.
I see. So hating these losses or having it being difficult to accept losses, do you find, or has that led to you doing revenge trading?
Yes, 100%. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So what about, you set your stop losses or do you just manually trade?
No, I play stop losses. When I place my orders, my stop loss is extremely wide because I don't want to trade with stop losses. I use the stop losses only to place it manual on break even if I have the change to do this. So it's not predefined my stop losses or I don't trail it or something like this. So I work with my stop loss manually. So I put my mouse and I put the stop loss break even and that's it. And then I trail it on myself. So if I see the candle make a big move, I trail the candle. So manually.
Mm-hmm. So curious to get your take on how does the current market for you in 2023, this kind of choppy sideways market, compare with prior years, say like 2020? Does it matter much? I mean, since you're just simply day trading, is there that much of a difference between the types of markets that we're in and how it affects your trading?
Yeah, 100%. So I can give you some, I can explain it in easy words. If I think I have seen everything in the stock market, I'm completely wrong. So the market teach me every day that I'm wrong. So today I was thinking I have seen everything. And then the fake news came out. I was never thinking about that. And fake news have some impact on the stock market, but I was teaching and completely other things. So every time, every day, the stock market gives you some great lesson. And if you think you have seen everything, you get punched in your face. And I feel so happy for all the people who start the trading career now in the bear market. So it's the hardest way to learn trading in the bear market. So every people who start the trading career now, they are extremely lucky. Because mm-hmm. in the bull market, you can make so easy money. In the bear market, it's extremely hard to make money. This is my feeling. So if he was in the bull market, it was so easy to make money because you have to place your order and you sit back and you take your win trades. And in the bear market, you have to manage all your positions very wisely.
Right. So what do you struggle with most in trading?
Focus is the most one who I struggle with, that I lose my focus. So you must understand that I have two kids. So I don't trade in any barrel. So I trade in my home place together with my family, with my kids. So maybe so the kid comes in the room and then you look to your kid. Or you have some crying in the background, you look fast for what's going on, and then boom. it's something like happened in the stock market, and you don't see it. Or you don't miss it, or you miss it. Or something like others. So for me, the biggest struggle is to become focused over a long, long time. So I mean that you can be sure that you have 1 hour focus. So... yeah, maybe my trading style is intensive, but focus is my most struggle.
Mm-hmm. How has trading impacted your time available for your family and your health?
Oh, this is a good question. I think it's better to ask my wife. yeah, I think it's good. So now it's good. So we have make so decisions as family. So. They have accepted that our incomes comes from trading, that we live from trading, and they are completely fine with this. And yeah. And the good one is I live in the German time zone, so it means for me that I start my trading in the afternoon. So I have all the morning and the lunch time together with my kids. So I spend the time with my kids, quality time with my kids. And after this, in the afternoon, I start my trading. So until the night.
Uh-huh.
And this is why I cannot sleep, because when the market is closed or something like this, I will review all my trades. I will watch the charts again. I watch the news if I have missed something, or I'm hanging around in the chat with traders community, or I have some hangout with other friends that we speak about trading and all the stuff. And then it's get really quick and really fast in German time, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the night. And I have to wake up 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, maybe, because my kids wake up and they want time with your daddy.
Mm-hmm. So even though you're day trading and you're not carrying positions overnight, so you don't have to worry about your positions blowing up overnight, you still find it difficult to sleep?
Yes, because I have to review everything. So you must understand that this is my free time. So from I give you some schedule. In the morning when I wake up, I have quality time with my kids to the lunchtime. And after the lunchtime, trading will begin. So this is my working hour. And when trading is done, then it becomes my free time. So this is my free time where I can only have my own time for me that I have not to spend with my wife, not to spend with my kids. It's only my free time. And in my free time, I make the decision. It's better for me to review the charts, to look what was happened, why I missed something or something like this. And yeah, and this works good for me because on the weekend, when we have the weekend or holidays in Germany or the United States, then we have make the decision as a family. This is quality time for the family. So I can sleep 10 hours, 12 hours, and we go to wellness hotels. We make something with the kids together as family, and they accept this. And this works very well.
Yeah, I imagine your family is looking forward to holidays, right? To get you to be able to relax and recharge. Yes. And
yeah, but I get depressed on the weekend. So as I mentioned, I think 24 hours on trading, and Saturday is good for me. It's a good one, but on Sunday I get completely depressed because I won't trade, and I cannot trade because the market is closed.
Oh, but isn't that? I mean, so sounds like you are just itching to trade and then not being able to trade on Sunday. That's kind of a downer for you?
Yeah, I get completely depressed because on the weekend you have some good new ideas in your mind and you want place the orders with all your new ideas and all what you think about on the weekend. Yeah, I know it's quality time with my family, but I'm physical with my family and all this stuff, but mentally, most of the time I think on trading. So it's hard for me to switch. So I'm here with my family and I spend the time with my family, but sometimes you will see that I'm sitting on a table in the background and then I have my smartphone and I make my notice in my smartphone and I sit there 1 hour and make all my notice what I think about trading at the moment, what comes in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any goals going forward?
Goals. Yeah. Goals are every time good. Yeah, I have big goals. The biggest goal is that I become the biggest hedge fund manager of the world. So this is my main goal. I have the ability to become to work with JP Morgan, so become some in the trading desk, so something like this. So that's a good goal for me, for main goal for me. But the biggest goal for me is that I can go to the United States together with my family, because I think if we go from Germany to United States and become a place in the United States, that my time schedule will completely change, because I trading in the morning and not no more in the afternoon to the night. And this is the main goal. It's at the moment it's complicated because my wife comes from Russia, so we have some goals that we go to Canada for 6 months and see how it's going and all the stuff. But this will have a big impact, I think, on my life and on my health to find a place in the United States.
Yeah. Okay, great. Are there any words of wisdom you would like to share with fellow traders?
Any words of wisdom?
Advice or...
the only advice what I can give is don't listen to other people. Follow your inner voice. So your inner voice is always right. So you can say... This is for if you have a mentor and you have so others you think completely different, like then follow your inner voice. So maybe your family is not good with your trading and all this stuff, but your inner voice told you, hey, this is the right way, do it. So this is the best advice what I can give people. So I have no trading advice. I have no something like this. So the best advice what I can give to the fellow traders is follow your inner voice. And yeah, and that's it.
Great. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for coming on the show, Chat with Traders, Patrick.
Yeah, thank you, Ian.
Yeah. How can our listeners get in touch with you?
I'm in the Chat with Traders community every time. And also the community mentor from Chat with Traders. So the best place to find me is inside of the Chat with Traders community.
Great. Thank you, Patrick, for coming on the show.
Yes, thank you.
You've reached the end of this episode of Chat with Traders. But rest assured, there are more episodes loaded with real market insight and zero hype on the way soon. So to stay updated with each great new release, subscribe to the podcast in iTunes, and we'd love it if you'd leave a rating and review. We'll catch you next time on Chat with Traders.